You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Holly Randall Unfiltered. I am so thrilled to have a very special guest here today. She went from being a professional ballet dancer to a cam girl to nabbing two AVN nominations all in just 3 years. And you might recognize her name from the headlines after her dating life went completely viral back in February. Welcome, Melissa Stratton.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thank you so much for coming. Yeah. So before we get into, this will lead into how you started to get into the adult industry. But I want to hear about your background in ballet.
Oh, yeah.
And we talked a little bit about earlier about like how you were kind of a nerd when you were younger and like you weren't hot. And so you had to develop this thing called a personality.
Terrible way to grow up. Yeah, no, I definitely I grew up moving around a lot. So I never had like a good core group of friends. And I think that's what really made me super nerdy. Mm-hmm. And so even now I consider myself like kind of an introvert. I'm very happy being alone, you know, most of the time, whatever. So I feel like that I was a very weird, nerdy child. And then obviously doing ballet my whole childhood didn't make me any cooler, like at all. Because, you know, every day after school I was in the studio, and every summer I would go to summer programs, you know, nationwide or internationally. And I was really good. And it was about high school where I was like, man, I don't know if I really want to do this. I kind of want to finally have a normal life. And so I was apprenticing with a company and I just kind of like burned out and was like, I don't want to do this. Okay. So then a couple years pass, I get my degree. I work in the professional field and I have like a jokingly like a midlife crisis. I mean, I'm only 34, but I was still like back then I was like, no, you know, that's my biggest regret in life is that I never pursued ballet. So I just randomly decided to pick it up one day. Trained myself for a year. You know, I was in the studio every day. I had my point shoes on every day. You know, I was
trained yourself. Like you didn't have a trainer?
No, I mean, I would go take ballet class, but like I knew what I was doing because I was at a professional level before I quit. So why I'm telling you this, I took a pretty big gap, trained myself for a year, auditioned for a bunch of companies, and got in. Mm-hmm. So I danced professionally for 2 years and was like, oh my God, I remember why I didn't do this my whole life, because it is so incredibly difficult. But I definitely had like a gift and a love and an affinity for it. And I'm really glad I got to like accomplish that dream. I wish I would have done it when I was younger.
It's crazy like how it's amazing what you can do with your body.
You can do anything.
And like literally the way it fucks your feet up though.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Look at these things. Look at them.
They look like fine to
no,
me.
This one was broken. That one has like a big callus on it. So when I do like foot fetish scenes, I'm always like, are you sure you want me? Really?
I was just going to ask you.
Okay. You know, you get that toe and this broken toe in a dude's mouth and you're just kind of like, ugh. You know, you don't want to put on your consent checklist, like, don't suck my third toe on my left foot, you know?
But
so you just
can.
Let it ride. You can.
You can.
But like, you know, that's a me problem. So I'm like, whatever. But yeah.
But I mean, it's so physically rigorous. And does it, you know, there's rumors that it encourages eating disorders. Do you
feel absolutely.
That's true?
When I was dancing, no, because I was working out. I was naturally very thin. I was working out hours a day, right? Mm-hmm. So you'd take class for 2 hours in the morning. You'd go straight to rehearsal. You'd work out on your lunch break. If you didn't have rehearsal in the afternoon, you'd go for a run. You'd do conditioning. Like you're moving your body all day. So it's really easy to stay really slim. But on the off periods or when I quit and your body changes, that was the worst for me. Mm-hmm. So I'm about 20 pounds heavier right now than I was when I was dancing.
Which is crazy because like you're not.
You wouldn't recognize me. My face was like a little skeleton. It was like very. But I was still on the bigger side for a ballerina. You need to be 110 or under for guys to be able to lift you. And I've always had like thicker legs. I think that's what my fans love about me. But my directors always hated it. They were like, you have to slim those thighs down. You stand out. You're too bottom heavy, you know. And so that fucked with me a lot.
So that's interesting because I always thought that it was like this aesthetic, right? That you
it
would
is. It's
be
about
thin.
Your line.
But it's also, I mean, it's about the guys being able to lift you.
Yes,
so it's
there
about,
is a function
like,
to it too.
Yeah.
You don't want to be the big girl. You don't want to be the one that when they pick you up, they're like, ugh. You know, that was always like, fuck, how am I going to go I can go have a green juice for lunch, you know, won't be eating this week. Thanks, Todd, you know.
Fucking Todd.
So it's just like, whatever.
Wow. Okay. So, but I mean, that definitely must have instilled like a real sense of discipline in you.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely made me who I am in terms of like this type A perfectionist personality. I'm always concerned with aesthetic and being prepared and whatever. And I love that about myself. I wouldn't change that, but it is a really kind of mentally demanding way to live your life. Yeah. You know,
I'm one of those people, a challenge. So I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. The type A, the Virgo. Yeah. I mean, you know,
you are you a Virgo too?
Yeah. 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 So I didn't stand a chance.
Right? When's your birthday?
14th.
September. Okay. Mine's 14th. The 5th.
Oh, nice. Very cool. Yeah. So, all right. That's why I like you.
Yeah.
You know, we're both like,
good. Well, but you're being very nice to me right now. So I'm hoping that after
fuck
the podcast.
You,
okay, thank you. I feel so much better.
I know. I was telling Holly before we started, my love language is like sarcasm and kind of like a mean sense of humor. So if I'm too nice, be scared, because then I don't like you. So sorry.
Yeah, she was being way too nice to me.
So. I told her I wanted to be on my best behavior. I'm trying.
We're actually like on a podcast and we're trying to like put forth a certain part of ourselves, which is maybe better forward facing. Yeah.
Well,
doesn't mean that it's not who you are.
Yeah. Well, and I do feel the pressure now, especially with being in the media lately, to like show people who I really am, because people like to make assumptions. They like to say mean things. They like to draw conclusions that weren't there. And so I do feel that extra pressure to be like, no, I am totally chill and normal. I'm not. You know, so yeah, I always try to put my best foot forward. Yeah,
well, we will get to that for sure.
Yes, yeah, totally.
I do want to talk about a little bit more about your beginnings.
Oh, yeah.
So when you started, you didn't actually show your face, right?
No, I didn't. I was so shy.
Yeah.
I was so shy.
We actually never talked about your leap.
Oh, from my God.
Into the adult industry.
The adult industry. So, yeah, so I had left ballet, was doing graphic design, COVID happens. And I was bored and I was lonely and I was curious and I had seen Chatterbait, and that is still the only platform I've ever cammed on. I love them. I do a lot of work for them, you know, with their corporate and their events and stuff. And I was so grateful that I found them first, because it's a very broad audience, a little bit of everything, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of Wild West, I feel like, when you're camming on Chatterbait specifically, because it is a freemium model. So people don't have to pay to watch you if you don't set it up that way. So I was really nervous about that, because I do come from a very conservative background. You know, I know the internet's a wild place. I didn't know what to expect. Okay. So I would sit there with just my lips and my tits, and that was it. And I would talk and I would flash and I would just like whatever. And that first night, I think I made $150, like just doing that. And for me, that was a lot of money. I thought that was so cool. And I was hooked. And
How long were you on for?
Oh, maybe an hour.
Okay,
or two.
So that's not bad. $150 in an hour isn't bad.
It was amazing. Yeah. So I thought that was so cool. And so, yeah, I hooked ever since. And I think about 2 months in, I started showing my face. Or I would do privates. And I would, because people were like, what's wrong with your face? Right? What's wrong? Are your eyes fucked up?
Cyclops.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, look, I got this eye. And then I would like dip down to the screen and be like, and then there's that eye. So like, you know,
I have
like,
both my eyes.
Yeah. And so I started going private and stuff. And the reaction I got was so positive and so wonderful. And I was like, yeah, you know what? If I'm going to do this, I'm going to have to jump in with both feet. And so then I just started showing my face, and the money was much better when I was showing my face and showing everything and using toys and, you know, whatever. But it was a slow kind of progression for me of like taking things at my pace. But look at me now.
Yeah, look at you now. Look at you now. Yeah. So how did you make the jump, the leap? I don't know. What are your – the releve? The what?
You know, the little
– Yeah.
The little jump. I can't – I don't know why.
What's
I'm trying to do my fingers.
Anshikat? Anshikat. Okay, Anshikat. How'd you make the Anshikat studio?
So that was really funny. I had gone to an expo with Chatterbait and was approached by one of the producers at Browsers. And they were like,
who?
You have a great Chris.
Okay. Yeah. I thought maybe it was going to be Kieran.
It's always Kieran.
It's always Kieran. No, he's always like pulling the girls in.
Right. Jesus. And he did. He did that too. Yeah. I did work with him
Kieran's
soon after
a good
that.
Scout.
No, but he was actually kind of shy and like very normal guy. And he was like, you know, he kind of like talked to me sideways.
He's really sweet.
He is so sweet. We're good friends to this day, you know? And I don't know if he likes when I tell this story, but he came up to me and was like, you know, if you ever, you got a great look, you know, if you ever wanted to do a scene, we'd love to work with you, figure it out, whatever. And I was like, okay, whatever, dude. Like, gross. Everybody was, you know, always trying to get something from me, you know, like, whatever. And I stood there and I saw him walk back over to the Brazzers booth. And I was like, wait a second. That would be really cool. Maybe I do want to do porn. I didn't realize that what I was doing online was porn. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought it was a different category. I thought it was different. And so I remember it probably took me about 5 minutes. And then I ran back over to him in my little like 6-inch pleasers and was like, actually, Chris, can we talk? I think that would be really cool. And he was like, yeah, whatever you want. So we had a couple conference calls talking about what type of scene I would want. And then a couple weeks later, I was in Miami shooting 3 scenes for Brazzers.
Wow. Yeah. And how did it go? What was your first scene like?
It was amazing. I wanted it to be a threesome. I kind of wanted to like start off with a bang. I love men and women. I was like, let's just, if we're going to do it, let's do it.
Yeah.
So I got to work with 2 amazing performers. And yeah, I mean, they treated me like a princess too, right? Yeah. They fly you out.
Brazzers is really good. But
yeah. So I think I got a really amazing intro to the industry.
Yeah.
You know?
Who were the 2 people in your first scene?
It was Oliver Flynn and Armani Black. So it was like this perfect little brunette mashup, you know, and Oliver was like great, handled us and stuff. But that was also the scene of, people always ask you like, you know, what's your most embarrassing moment in porn? And it was my first scene because I have always had a birth control ring, the Annovera, which is like the Nuva ring, and his dick got stuck in it. And he pulled it out, you know, and like your first scene, you're still not like comfortable with your body. And you're just like, oh, my God, like what, you know, and they're so, I mean, he pulled it off. I was like, is this yours? Like, you know, whatever. And they were like, cut, you know, and I'm like, I'm so sorry. I don't know. And so I like put on a little towel and like set it to the side. I was just dying. Yeah, I was like mortified. Yeah. And now I have no qualms about being naked or bodily functions, you know.
But it's funny how quickly that stuff becomes very normal.
Very quickly, yeah.
Yeah.
I joke that we're kind of like doctors about things where it's like nothing grosses you out. If a co-star is like, do I have something on my butt? You'll be like, oh yeah, here, give me that baby wipe. You know, it's like.
I've wiped down people's butts, their vaginas, their butt. Like, right? I've pulled sponges out of girls.
Oh, of course. Yeah, that's pretty. Yeah, I mean, not with these nails. No. So you'd be helping me out.
No, I was just going to say, if you showed up with those nails to a girl-girl scene.
No, I would never.
No,
I would never.
Happening.
I have enough respect for my fellow females that I would not try to put these inside anyone.
Have you seen Jules Blue's manicure? She does like the lesbian manicure.
The two shorts?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I have never seen
but
that.
How do you pick which hand? Because I get a little ambidextrous. So I'd have to just. And then if you got 4 short nails, why are they long?
I think she's a one-handed.
She's a right-hander.
One-handed.
I look for that.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, she's got 2 short nails.
Like, it's kind of like it's also like the Coke nail. If they have like one long fingernail, one long pinky nail, you're like,
I know what you do with that.
You're fun. You're a party person. God, but if they got 2 short ones here, then.
Yeah.
And she's looking for the ladies.
The 2 short ones. Yeah.
Or guys. I mean, I guess you could finger a butthole like that too.
Yeah. Yeah. 2 would be unique. But.
What? Yeah.
2?
I don't know. Isn't it the same as like a vagina?
No.
I feel.
You know better than that. Well, come on. I think when I think of like men's buttholes, it's like one finger or it's like a toy, you know? So either way, like, you got to have one short.
Or it's like a Michael Vegas massive fucking dick, strap-on dick. The things that guy can take in his ass is so impressive.
It is, honestly. Yeah, so I don't do professional anal yet, and I'm always very impressed.
Are you planning on it?
I go back and forth. I don't get any requests for it, even from my fans. So
interesting.
I think my fans really enjoy the vanilla side of me. Even when I try to like push it a little bit, try to do a scene that's kind of outside the box, sometimes it doesn't do as well. Hmm. You know,
is like your niche, you would say?
I think it's pretty vanilla boy girl.
Okay,
you know, vanilla in terms of porn, right?
Right.
You know, and I'm fine with that. When I started, I didn't know what my brand was and who I was and whatever. So I kind of let the internet tell me. Mm-hmm. And I still do that to this day. I'm like, what do you guys want to see? What do you guys, you know, I'm checking my analytics. I'm looking at what's working. And has stayed in kind of this like vanilla girlfriend classy category. And that's perfect because that's really who I am. So
yeah. It's nice to not have to try to pretend to be
something I'm not. And I wasn't going to do that anyway. Yeah. But at the same time, like, you can kind of stay to one kind of style of scene or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you find that you do a lot of like ballet themed scenes?
No, no. I just did my first one for Seth Gamble. We did it in a studio. It was kind of like Black Swan themed.
Yeah,
you know?
I saw the trailer for
and
it.
And I kept my pointe shoes on the whole time.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there was one part I was doing like reverse cowgirl on my toes.
Wow.
You know, he's like laying on the ground. And
reverse
I'm like,
cowgirl's already like the
already
worst
so hard. Position. He was holding me up. But no, it actually worked pretty well. It was kind of wild.
That's me.
So yeah, that was really fun.
That's crazy that like, I mean, I would think that that would be the one thing that you would be.
Well, I think too, I didn't advertise a lot that I did ballet because for a long time it was kind of a painful memory because it was so personal to me. I wanted to like have a life outside of ballet. You know, it kind of took me a while to like reheal my relationship with ballet. Now I look back at it incredibly fondly, but I think maybe when I started, I didn't lead with that.
It's so interesting because I actually, a lot of people don't know this because I don't talk about it because I also have like a weird relationship with it, though I don't think nearly as strongly as you. But like for me, I was an equestrian my whole life and I rode horses and it was something that was my mother's dream for me to go to the Olympics.
Yep.
And I did 3-day eventing and I qualified for the Junior Olympics.
Oh my God.
And then I quit. Right at the end of high school before I went to college because I wanted a life outside of horses. Mm-hmm. Horses was my life.
Yeah, you had the exact same.
I didn't really have a lot of friends like you. I was like very introverted. So I like still like we have 3 horses at our place.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ride.
That's ever. Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, you get it. Sometimes you your passions ebb and flow through life.
Yeah.
You know? And so like when Seth asked me to do that scene, I like went back into the studio and took a couple classes and it was hard. It's really hard. If you're not taking ballet every day, your body really does like deteriorate. Your flexibility goes away. Like you're just, you don't move the same. So it was even hard just to get back in the studio for those couple, you know, it was mentally kind of wild.
No, I can imagine. Yeah. And I'm sure that like other people see the way that you're moving and the things that you're doing and they think it's so incredible because it's so far beyond like what we're capable of.
Mm-hmm.
But you probably felt all of the things that you could no longer do.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. I'm like, oh, my leg's not like as high in this extension as it used to be. My back's not as flexible. Like I was, and even in this scene, I'm like, oh, my elbows are down and like my back's kind of sticking out. And, you know, like I pick myself apart really hard when it comes to ballet.
Yeah.
Because that's what you're trained to do.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. No, absolutely. Today's episode is brought to you by Blue Chew. No, it's not a new chewy candy, but it sure is sweet for some folks. Now imagine this. The same key ingredients that power Viagra and Cialis, but in a fun, chewable form. No more sneaking around to the doctor or playing hide-and-seek with the pharmacy clerk. Blue Chew brings the magic right to your doorstep. Discreetly, of course. Because nobody needs to know your business unless you want them to. Now, why am I whispering sweet nothings about Blue Chew into your ear? Simple. Because nothing spells sexy like confidence. And Blue Chew, well, it's like the wingman you never knew you needed, ensuring that you're more than just ready when the lights dim and the playlist switches to slow jams. So for those of you eager to see what the fuss is about, Blue Chew is rolling out the red carpet for our listeners with a special offer. Try Blue Chew for free when you use our promo code Holly at checkout. Just pay $5 in shipping. That's bluechew.com, promo code Holly, to receive your first month for free. Visit bluechew.com for more details and safety information. And remember, chew it and do it. We all know Adam and Eve is the one-stop shop for everything sexy. And now, with my code Holly, you can get any one item for 50% off, plus 10 free gifts. And you'll even get free shipping. So spice up your sex life at adamandeve.com, but only if you use code Holly. So obviously you've had like a very successful career so far, even though like you're still in the
still new.
Yeah,
yeah. It's only been 2 years of studio porn.
Yeah.
You know, and I just, it feels like dog years. It feels like I'm doing it forever.
Yeah.
But then I'm also like, I'm just barely getting started.
Yeah.
You know?
You recently did a movie with my dear friend, Mike Quasar.
My dear friend. I'll fight you for him. He is so wonderful. I love Mike Quasar. Like family, you know? Like he's one of the best people in this industry because
he's one of the
so
people that
honest.
Brought you up to me like quite a few times.
Oh, actually. Really?
Yeah.
Well, I credit him with like discovering me, right? Like Brazzers gave me like first scenes and stuff, but he brought me in, made me feel like I was good at what I did, that I was talented, and then continued to hire me like right off the bat.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, if this industry veteran has this opinion of me, I can have some confidence moving forward about asking for jobs and, like, you know, making my own content and stuff. So I really credit him, like, him with a lot of, like, my first year in
porn. He's got great insight. Like, if I want to know something about a new performer, I know he's probably shot them because he shoots so much. And I will call him and be like, what is this person like?
Yeah.
Or he'll be like, hey, you got to shoot this person. Mm-hmm. They're great. Like, he doesn't mince words. Like, he's very honest.
I think he reads people really well, too, which I think we kind of see eye to eye on that.
Yeah.
Like, I've been on set with him where somebody, like, says something and we just look at each other like, okay, you know, you got that. Yeah, that was fucking weird, you know? Like,
so tell me about the newest comedy that he's put you in.
Oh, my God. It's called So Extra, and it's a little feature that follows a girl and her boyfriend. They come out from Fish Creek, Wisconsin, mm-hmm. little small town. And I grew up mostly in the Midwest, so that was easy for me. It's a comedy. It's definitely a comedy, and it's very like meta with all its like inside porn jokes and the different roles that people have and kind of like the way we talk about LA, the experience of living in LA as a porn star. So this girl and her boyfriend, they moved to LA. They both want to be actors, but they can't get any roles. So she ends up being an extra on porn sets and kind of gets her boyfriend involved. And he's like, what the fuck is this? And you'll see it obviously ends exactly how you think it's going to end. And it was wonderful to be a part of. It was really cool.
What was one of your favorite scenes? Because there's a lot of really good ones.
Oh, I have so many good ones. But there's a trailer of me like opening the door saying like differently. It's like, how could you? That's your stepdaughter. And then like, how could you? That's your step-grandma.
Yeah, like, it's like a montage.
All these ridiculous things we say in porn. That we like could barely get that out. You know, it was just ridiculous. And then there's a whole scene about one of the actors getting cucked and this whole like weird, like, well, why would you do that? Why would you sit here and watch your wife get fucked, you know? Mm-hmm. And he's like, that's the point. Like, you enjoy it. He's like, why do I enjoy this? Like, you know? So that was just even funnier too. And I didn't have any lines in that. I had to just stand there with a straight face, which was terrible because I was just like, think of something else. Car crashes and dying kittens and, you know, because like they were so funny. And it is, porn at the end of the day is ridiculous. And I think that's why I like Mike so much is we're always like,
oh, it's the most ridiculous.
It's a joke.
It's such a ridiculous joke.
You know, you're in a room of like 10 people getting fucked and then you're cutting and getting fucked in a different position. I mean, it's laughable sometimes.
Yeah.
So we definitely poked a lot of fun at those kind of realities in this feature.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's like, it's one of those things that I know that Mike definitely does this as well. Like, we try to do our jobs as professionally and as well as possible because we understand, like, people are giving us a lot of money to turn in a product that they're selling. Like, it's a business like anything else. But it's also, like, it's a bit silly.
It's very silly.
It's quite silly.
It's very silly.
And people love it, you know, and people enjoy it. So
we love making it.
Yeah.
I love that absurdity of it. You know, I mean, I do take it very seriously, but sometimes you step back and you're like, did I just get paid for that? Like, this is the best job in the world. I love it.
I think that you enjoy it more if you see that it's a bit silly.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. People that take themselves too seriously, I feel like, are constantly disappointed. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because for as professional as you can make porn, it's also, I find it to be very casual atmosphere. You know what I mean? We're talking about being on time and, you know, just knowing your lines.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's just porn.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So you also were on stage at AVN this year.
Yes. Yeah.
And you did some presenting. How was that?
I was so nervous for it the days leading up because you're on stage in front of all of your peers and people that don't know you. And, you know, your outfit matters, how you carry yourself matters, how you speak. You know, like,
your outfit was very different.
Thank you. Yeah, what outfit?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. No, I did a black satin, like, bikini kind of lingerie set, but then I had a very expensive Gucci runway jacket that I carried with me. So I was kind of naked.
Well, it was interesting because you would, like, wear it.
Mm-hmm. And it was
then
very
you'd,
conservative.
Like, open it.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, there's my outfit.
Why not?
You know? It was different and it definitely like stood out.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. Yeah. That's what I was going for. I just, you know, AVN is so cool because we're in the porn industry. You can literally do whatever you want. You can dress as sexy as you want. You can dress as crazy as you want. You can make a statement. You can just do what makes you feel comfortable. And I was like, why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
You know? So
I know that you haven't been in the industry like terribly long, but obviously you're a very smart person, organized person.
Thank you.
You seem to understand how to do things in a way that makes sense for you.
Yeah.
Even though you're only 3 years in, what would you have done differently maybe at the beginning? Or do you have advice for new girls?
Yeah, I think you learn so fast on the job because no one's telling you what to do. You are literally figuring it out on your own for a lot of reasons. One, I think that everyone's journey is different, so there isn't a good template for how to do things. But some of the things I think I did really well was I started an LLC and a business bank account right away. I feel like people don't realize that the logistics of making money as a contract employee is very complicated and you don't want to mess that up. You know, especially if you were like me, I was making more money than I ever had right off the bat.
Yeah.
And you have to be very careful with that. Another one too, and it's a sticky area. We kind of talked about this, is like, I knew that to get into the industry and do the kinds of shoots that I wanted to do right away, you know, I didn't want to do a lot of casting couch. I didn't want to do kind of low budget stuff. I needed an agent. I needed an agent to speak on my behalf and be like, listen, she's got her shit together. She can perform. She can, you know, somebody to kind of vouch for me. So I liked being with an agency right off the bat. But you have to be so careful about who you choose. And sometimes there's just no way of knowing. Yeah. So at the end of the day,
everybody seems so great.
Everybody seems so great.
And this is like across the board with like everything, right? And like the more business deals I've done over the years, like I'm pretty anal about contracts now. And I have like a very expensive lawyer that looks at stuff. And I'm like, I nitpick about shit because I've been caught in a position so many times where I'm like, well, I don't need to worry about this. These people are so great. Look how nice they are. Look what they're promising me. It's all going to be fine. And like, it's the weirdest shit happens and like stuff goes upside down. And then you're like, I wish I had been more picky about what was in my contract.
Exactly. Or had somebody on your side to advocate for you. Because like, I didn't even know what I was signing and what I was getting myself into and what was standard and what wasn't, you know, like there's, when you're new, it's so easy to get taken advantage of. So having an agent or a business manager, somebody that you trust on your side is wonderful, but finding that person is really difficult. So at the end of the day, you are responsible for your future and your business and yourself. That's number one. Do not rely on anyone else. Use them to help you, but rely on yourself.
Can't trust anybody.
No.
You literally can't.
You literally can't.
And it's sad, but and, it's true.
But it's, I think, I look at it in like a good way, is it's like, this is on you to be successful, right? Yeah. Like, it's not that I can't trust anyone, but don't rely on anyone's trust to get ahead.
Yeah.
You know, promises of like, oh, well, if you do this, we'll give you this scene, like that kind of stuff. You know, I remember one time, and this is probably why you should have an agent, is I showed up on set. I had only ever shot girl for this company, and then I go and shoot boy girl, and I noticed they had like crossed out my rate and like filled in some of the paperwork for me, and I mentioned to the director, like, do you know my rate for this scene? He was like, oh, they handle that at corporate, they'll be fine, whatever. I get my check, it's $300 short, and I was like, what is this? And they were like, oh, that's the rate we pay for boy girl. And I was like, well, that's not my rate. Why? Like, I need, and they were like, well, we would have never approved that rate.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, I will not be working for you anymore.
Yeah. And that's something you definitely want to sort out beforehand. Because it's like, you don't want to get to set.
Well, I tried kind of. You know, I was like, what is this? And like, and I talked to them, like, you know, this is incorrect, like, whatever. And people in the industry have had different opinions on that. Like, you should have fought harder. Well, there's a lot going on in my life at the time. $300 wasn't worth the fight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I feel like that happens, that type of situation, like the money situation, has happened more to me on set than like anything else, you know, in terms of like bad experiences and whatever.
So was this before you had an agent, or you did not have an agent at the time that this happened?
That was when I was in between agents. Yeah.
Right. So,
which is also very confusing, right? They don't know where to send the paperwork. They don't know if they should be talking to you. They don't, you know, and so it's just, you always have to be on top of it.
Yeah, it's always good to get something in writing. A lot of times I will, like, if I have a meeting with somebody or conversation with someone, I'll send them a follow-up email and I'll be like, okay, so this is what was discussed. This is the rate. This is et cetera. Like,
I love to over-communicate.
Oh, me too.
You know?
Yeah.
And even if somebody doesn't get back to me, I'll just send it again. Or, you know, it's like you can't take any of that personal.
Yeah.
But it's interesting how there's a lot of ego at play. I feel like some people are either like young or don't come from a professional background. So a lot of things get lost in translation.
Totally.
You know, but you just have to keep doing what you do.
Yeah.
In order to make your business successful.
Yeah. I think what a lot of people don't realize about adult stars is that you're all small independent businesses and you're all essentially entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
And I think it surprises people that most porn stars don't have business managers.
No.
A lot of like celebrities do. Right. So they deal with all of that. Right. But like,
yeah, you'll have your business manager, your agent, your assistant, your finance, your lawyer, your PR.
It's a whole
group.
We got nothing.
You know, literally. I mean, I do have assistants now, but yeah, it was rough.
No, it's a lot. It's a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think that all the time for myself, often I'm like, God, I wish I had a manager because it's just like, it's a lot for me and I have a lot going on, but also like, make enough money to have to like pay a manager.
That's the thing. People are like, oh, porn, you must be making so much. And like all of a sudden it's like, I mean, yes and no from what I was making and whatever. I'm incredibly happy with what I have now.
Yeah.
But in the grand scheme of things, it's not anything like celebrity money.
Yeah.
It's not anything like professional actor money. But, yeah. So yeah, you can't afford a whole team of people.
And the problem is like you're generally not getting residuals on stuff.
No, never.
Right? So you're not making a movie and you're getting like money down the road on anything. Like, sure, you may be making a lot of money on your OnlyFans, but you have to continue to produce content for that. So it's like,
that's hardly residual.
Yeah. No, it's exactly. Like,
that's
never, there's no like passive, there's almost like passive income coming in.
Not really.
That's really hard to establish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's, I mean, I like the challenges of this industry.
Right.
You know?
Right. So, the internet freaked out Super Bowl weekend when news broke that you were dating Sean Evans, who hosts Hot Ones, something I literally never watched. But I guess it's people eat hot wings and then talk about things.
Yeah, yeah. So he hosts a show where they do like wing. They have a celebrity on and they eat wings in increasingly spicy sauces. So it's like one wing is like mild, the next one's a little hotter. And by the end of it, they like can't feel their face. And that's crazy because like I grew up, not grew up, it hasn't been on that long, but like I've seen his show many times. So when he DM'd me on Insta, I thought for sure it wasn't him. So we kind of like went back and forth a little bit. And turns out he's from Chicago. I live there. We met up a few times, like whatever, and totally hit it off. And I was like, this is so cool to meet somebody that you've seen on the internet and they're even more wonderful in person.
Right.
You know, so I was excited.
So how long did you guys date for?
A couple months. Yeah, it was a couple months. It was right around, I would say, like Thanksgiving. And it was like just after Halloween, like kind of Thanksgiving when we started like talking like all the time and like meeting up because he comes to LA a lot too. So I would be here. So we were like out in public doing things quite often, you know, like we were. So then the Super Bowl happens in January and he's like, do you want to come? And I didn't think, well, first I was like, don't you want to bring like one of your guy friends or like your family or whatever? He's like, no, I really want to bring you. I think you'd appreciate it because I did live in Kansas City and I'm a huge Chiefs fan. And
okay.
We were in the Super Bowl. So I was freaking out. I was like, I'm not going to say no. Like, are you kidding me? So we went, but I, as far as I knew, he was comfortable with my job and comfortable with being seen with me and, you know, all of that. And it kind of wasn't the case.
So essentially what happened was there was a news story that broke that said that he was dating a porn star, of course. And then was it that or was it Adam 22's tweet?
No, it was that. Yeah, no, it wasn't Adam.
Okay.
And I told Adam this because I consider Adam a friend. We've worked together quite a bit. And and Sean knew Adam.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm like, oh, you know, you got to have a good sense of humor about what I do, right?
Yeah.
You know? And it's I would assume you know him, I know him.
Is fun. Like, you're a funny person.
Oh,
well,
Sean.
No, not Adam. Sean. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that, like...
He's a great sense of humor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's very intelligent, very witty. And so, yeah, we had, like, fun. But I never asked him specifically if that was, like, part of the reason. But it was already on the way out before that tweet came up. So it's like, whatever.
So Adam says, he responds to that story and says, congratulations, Sean, her pussy is fire.
Which is a great compliment.
Which I thought was funny. I just remember Lena's follow-up comment. She's like, tweets about another girl on Valentine's Day, which obviously she said with a sense of humor as well. Because, you know, she's also
And
funny.
I love Lena, She was, I think she asked me, she's like, if I post this, just know it's a joke. And I was like, okay. Because I'm a girl's girl. I don't want any, you know, I'm not here to, So I was like, okay, whew. Like, she thought it was funny too.
But. Yeah. So... And then then like what happened after that? He just like called you and was like, it's over or?
Yeah. 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 Wow. It was like, I can't take it. This is too much heat. The details are between me and him, right. You know, but yeah, it was just one brief phone call and that was it. And I'm totally fine with that because I've said before, I don't want to be with somebody that doesn't want to be with me. Mm-hmm. Don't give me these fucking mixed signals. I'm also aware that what I do is not for everyone and you are totally within your rights to change your mind at any time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
I think one of the biggest problems with our new relationship was that he wanted to get to know me for me and I loved that. I really thought this was like a strong connection and whatever. So when it came to what I did, I don't think he did enough research. Even though we would talk about it a little bit and I would tell him about my scenes a little bit, I don't think he knew the extent. So when other people were like posting my scenes and like, look at how many dicks she's taken and like all this stuff, he was like, whoa.
Yeah.
So that's not my fault.
No.
You know what I mean? You didn't do your research. I Googled the hell out of you when we started dating.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I just wanted to make sure I knew what I was getting into.
Right.
So it's just, yeah, I guess maybe he didn't do the same or didn't care until everybody else knew. So.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, it is hard. It's a lot of heat for someone to take. Mm-hmm. And there's just not a lot of guys.
Nice pun about a hot one show. Right. Like, you know, everyone's like, come on. You know, but I think in this day and age, two consenting adults, like, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, I knew there would probably be some, like, initial flack because he does seem like such a buttoned-up person. He doesn't seem like the kind of person that would date someone like me. But in my head, I was like, that'll blow over.
Yeah.
You know? Like, and it already has, so.
Do you feel like that some of the pressure came from, like, his publicist or, like, his.
Oh, for sure.
Like, from the business side. Not even friends.
A couple weeks ago, it was, like, BuzzFeed sold Vice or I can't remember how the conglomerate goes, but they retained like whatever. So I think there was more behind the scenes that I didn't know about in terms of like big money. So yeah,
there's some pretty crazy shit that they put in your contract sometimes. Mm-hmm. I was talking to somebody, I won't name her because I know mm-hmm. she wouldn't appreciate that, but she had signed a contract with like a big mainstream company to do a show and like the shit that was in her contract was wild.
Really?
Yeah, like she couldn't be seen at certain places. Mm. She couldn't be seen with certain people. And this is someone who worked enough, in you know? The sex world.
Oh, oh.
Even.
Interesting.
You know? Yeah. Like,
well, I think that's what hurt me a lot in the comments and the whatever is people were like, well, if he wanted to keep it private and you knew he wanted to keep it private, why did you post about it on IG or on mm-hmm. Twitter? And it was like, that's not the reality of the situation. We were out in public. I had posted. I hadn't, like, I never tagged him, mm-hmm. too. You know, like, there was, he was just there in my pictures. And the main photo is us at a club together, which the club photographer came over and was like, can I get a picture of you two? And I turned to him and I go, do you want a photo with me? And he goes, of course. You know, puts his arm around me. We take a photo. The club photographer sends it to him. And then he sent that photo to me. And I said, can I post it? And he goes, yeah, sure. So, like, what did I do wrong?
Yeah.
You know? And people are like, oh, you're just that typical girl trying to, like, get some clout, whatever. And I go, well, that was the person I was dating, and I was proud of him, and I thought he was proud of me.
Yeah.
Fucking shoot me. You know?
And it sucks, too, that you even have to ask him those questions.
But I did that because I was sensitive towards his career, knowing right. that he interacted with celebrities and stuff. It does
that
suck.
You are put in that position.
It does, but, like, I made the bed of being in porn. Right. I know the stigma that comes with it, and it's never going to go away.
Right.
So that didn't even bother me. But I agree. Yeah, does it suck? Sure. But it's my reality, so whatever.
I just mean that on, like, a bigger level, not him.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about society in general.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, the stigma that comes about with that in general. I mean,
sex work in general.
Even my husband, who I've been with for over 7 years, mm-hmm. Who's not a celebrity, mm-hmm. but he works in law. I'm like mm-hmm. very prestigious, like firm and stuff. Yeah. Like, I can't say his name because I don't want because he's a very unique name mm-hmm. and I don't want people to find him because I've had like weird people like threaten to like,
oh, all the time,
you know, all this crazy shit.
Yeah.
And there was even a point that I was dealing with this weird kind of stalker guy who was, and I had to like delete all of our photos together mm-hmm. on Instagram, which like mm-hmm. broke my heart. It was kind of like earlier in our relationship because I like loved him and I was proud of him. And this is someone I wanted to spend the rest of my life mm-hmm. with. And I was like, I can't, like, I can't, like, associate you in my life. Like, that sucks. And even now, like, I do post pictures of him on Instagram, but very rarely. And then we have a daughter, which I never post on my public Instagram ever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, even like I have to hide that part of my life.
Just to protect your family. And I remember like when this hit like TMZ, when it went started to go a little viral, I called my parents and I was like, if anybody asks you about this, just tell them you don't know me. You know, like just don't say anything. Tell them you don't know me. Tell them you don't have a daughter. I don't know. Because I don't want my family to feel any type of brunt for the choices that I've made.
Yeah.
I just don't think that's fair.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the hard part too, when people were like digging up my personal details and my background and like sending it to my family and DMing it to my friends. And, you know, and I'm just like, for what? For what? Like, you think that's going to ruin my life? I already know the choice that I've made and what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, and my parents know.
Yeah.
Like, what are you trying to do, out me? Like, I'm a grown woman.
Yeah.
Like, okay. You know, so it's just, the
being. Do you have a good relationship with your family?
I do. Yeah, I do. They started off, I told them that I did porn a year into doing porn because I wanted to make sure this is what I wanted to do.
Right.
And I selfishly wanted to be a little bit successful before I told them anything. So if I had got a nomination or I won something, I was like, that's when I'll tell them because they can be proud of me in some weird way. And well, I also, did.
I think that they can see that it was a path that made sense that you chose, right? Because it's leading you somewhere.
Yeah. I had goals. I was making money. I was taking care of myself, you know. So I waited a little bit. I told them. Their initial reaction was, well, we're proud of you no matter what you do. And I was like, oh, I know you don't mean that, you know. So I kind of like braced myself for the storm. And my mom called me back the next day in tears, like, how could you do this? Like, what? And I go, stop Googling, okay?
Yeah.
Don't do that. That's really icky. I don't want you to see any of that. I told you not to. And then it took probably about 6 months for us to be back where we started.
Right.
You know, now they'll ask me, where are you traveling to? How are your shoots going? They don't want to know details.
Right.
But they're trying really hard to be involved. Whereas I was like, listen, I lied to you for a year. It's not going to change your life now that you know. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm not going to sit here and tell you things you don't want to hear. We can just, how's the weather? You know?
Yeah.
And we do. We're still close like we were.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fine. Can you imagine? Oh my God. Porn stars' parents still love them. What a weird concept.
I mean, you know, I've interviewed a lot of people who, unfortunately, sadly, like their relationship with their parents is split because of that, but it was usually pretty strained before that. They were having issues before that. Mm-hmm. And then it was kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back. And then other, you know, I've heard a lot of stories where at first it was hard for them to swallow.
Yeah. Oh boy. Oh. Holly.
But sorry, I don't know. then, you know, I mean, like one of my favorites was like Alina Lopez. Like she comes from like a Mormon family, and then like, you know, her mom like made her AVN dress and her parents like went with her to the show.
So my two oldest sisters were my assistants at AVN this year.
That's awesome.
And helped me through everything. So, you know, walking the red carpet, handing out photos to fans. Yeah. So it did a 180.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm very lucky because I know not everybody has it that way. But I think the key is just like honesty and giving people time.
Yeah.
You know, I did not expect them to accept it in any way, shape or form. And so I was happy with any type of progress that we made, you know.
Right. Right. And also I think like it takes a while for people because there's so many misconceptions about the adult industry, you know, that every woman is trafficked and that you're always in unsafe situations and you have no control over like how the scene goes. Mm-hmm. And obviously those situations occur. Mm-hmm. But you know, especially
for me, that's rare.
Right.
If it's happened at all, you know? And so I think that I'm not an ambassador for the industry at all, but I do like to share my story because it's been a very wonderful experience across the board.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
well, I think a lot of that has to do with making the right decisions with the right people. Brazzers is a great company to start with. They really take care of their girls.
They
You started off slow with.
Yes.
You know, camming, where you had control over your content and what you could do, and you set boundaries and you stuck to them. So there's a right and a wrong way to get into the adult industry, I think.
Definitely.
And it also depends on like how you really at your core feel about it.
Yeah.
You know, if it's something that you truly like can become and are comfortable with, then you're going to have a great experience. If it's something that like you really like actually don't want to do and you're doing it for the wrong reasons, then that's going to affect you.
No, 100%. I started out only shooting like 2 scenes a month, which is nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and then I'd go home and cam and like whatever. And I just remember being like, I love being on set. I want to do this more. So I was making more frequent trips to LA. More people were interested in me. And now it's kind of switched where I love being on set more than I love doing anything else. Mm-hmm. But I think if I hadn't taken it slow like that, mm-hmm. I don't know if it would have been the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So last question about this whole debacle with Sean.
I can like laugh about it now because like it's funny to me. You know, I'm not at, you know, there was a period of time where I was a little heartbroken and mm-hmm. then I was just straight afraid. Like I was just scared of the amount of attention I was getting and how horrible people were being.
Yeah.
And I put out, you know, I felt like I had no control over the narrative, even though TMZ asked me for comments and stuff. And I was just like, I'm just going to stay out of it, you mm-hmm. know, like, so I didn't get a chance to like tell my side of the story or have any kind of whatever. And they wanted to paint me as like a victim. And I was like, oh, that's kind of a mutual decision, you know, mm-hmm. like whatever. But I had posted a Insta reel of me and Johnny Sins. And I was like, don't worry, guys, I'm fine. I found a better bald man. And people fucking hated that. I was such a bitch for saying that. You know, you just proved what a hoe you were or whatever. Yeah. And I was like, number one, I'm allowed to rebound. Okay. Mm-hmm. And number two, everyone fucks Johnny Sins.
Okay? Yeah, if you're lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was, just, yeah. And it was an old reel anyway. And, you know, but I just, yeah, it's like when other people are allowed to churn the media, but when you do it,
yeah.
you're like, what a whore.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm like, oh, you know, you can come up with something new to call
me. I have a solution for you.
Oh.
Don't read the comments.
Dude, I need to hear that 15 times a day because I read everything.
Oh,
I
no.
read everything.
No, no, no. Stop.
It's very bad. It's very bad. But I think part of it is that marketing brain that I've always had where I want to have my finger on the pulse of what's happening. Mm-hmm. What type of message do I need to be sending out? What's the common denominator here? And yeah, it wasn't a good time. So it went from like heartbreak, the whole situation, it was like heartbreak to like straight up fear. Like my hair was falling out. I was crying every day because I couldn't handle. And then, and I got a lot of flack from inside the industry too. People thought they knew my personal life. They knew me. They had this whole opinion. I had people being like, you're not a good representative for the industry. It's just another example about how, you know, porn stars don't deserve real love and whatever. Like, how dare you make us look like this? Thank you. I was like, what? Like, there's a lot of different ways you can go with that, but that was a common one. And then everybody thought it was a publicity stunt, which is fine. I get it. Mm-hmm. It seemed like one. Mm-hmm. It's fine. I could have probably done a better one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what I did. Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So yeah, the inside the industry hate was kind of tough too. And then I think after a few weeks, I was just like, all right. It's died down. There's no more new information. No one cares anymore. And I was able to like laugh about it.
Yeah.
You know, because you can laugh about your exes.
Yeah.
Because it's fucking funny.
Do you think that you would ever date a celebrity again? Or would this give you pause?
I would because I feel like I appreciate people that are busy and driven and have their own shit going on. Mm-hmm. I'm too independent to be like travel around with someone or like, I don't know. But I would do it totally different. If they wanted it to be a media circus, I'm along for the ride. Mm-hmm. If they don't, then it is completely silent. Don't take me to events. I will sign an NDA. Like, just give me the path and we'll take it.
Really?
You know what I mean? Yeah, absolutely. Because I like people. I like relationships. And I don't like to play games.
I'm too
old for that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't have the energy for that. So I think that's part of it, too, is if you want it to be private, tell me that and we'll just do that.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I can't imagine dating somebody and having to like try to keep it secret. And but then again, I've never dated a celebrity, like, so what do I know?
Right? Yeah.
No one fucking drops into my DMs unless they're trying to.
I doubt that.
Okay. I swear to God, what the only DMs I get are from people who are trying to like run my OnlyFans page.
Oh no!
Get so many of those.
Hey, girl, I have an opportunity for you.
Oh my God, you should. And it's always a hot chick, and it's definitely not her writing to you. Hey, you should really hook up with my agent. They could really like grow your OnlyFans so much.
They're still taking people on the roster, and you're just like,
exactly. Okay. They're all like, I just delete them. Just delete.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I've never had a celebrity slide into my DMs ever.
Yeah. I attract football players and YouTubers, and that's it. And I love that. I love that little niche of little weirdos.
Yeah.
They're fucking great.
Yeah.
You know, but I just, I'm not interested in like just going to dinner and like meeting up with people, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm not ready for that yet, number one. And number two, like it's so much of a hassle to like be in the public eye or have them be in the public eye and try to date.
If you could choose like the perfect mm-hmm. man, like what is your ideal partner?
I have not thought about that. Wow. I need to think about it. I'm going to talk to my therapist about that one. Thanks. No, I think I like people that are highly intelligent, a little on the nerdy side. I like to be the hot one in the relationship.
Mm, okay? I get it.
So I don't give a shit what you
I want to be
like.
The star.
I want to be the star.
Yeah, no, I don't like to date guys that are like hotter than me.
No. I want you to wake up and be like, wow, how am I with you every single day? Like, because I'm so insecure and vain that I need that, you know? At least I know that about myself.
Self-awareness is like, I think one of the greatest traits that you can have, and so many people don't have
it. It's just not going to change. So, but I think that's a plus for, you know, all the kind of average dudes out there. I'm your girl.
Like, hey, average dudes, you have a chance
please,
with Melissa.
Please DM me. Yeah. And I like guys on the shorter side too. 5'10" is kind of my.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I want to look you in the eyes. I don't want to.
Yeah.
Look up.
Yeah.
You know.
What about penis size? Is that important?
You know, it used to not be, but I think the older I get, the more I know my body, and I just like medium. Mm. Just medium.
Okay, now what's medium? Because people want to know specifics.
Probably porn medium, probably like 7 inches.
Okay.
6'7" mm-hmm. and like a decent girth.
Okay.
Not anything crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But smaller than that, and it's like, okay, we got to find the right position.
Mm-hmm.
Can't just do anyone to like mm-hmm. hit that spot. And then the super big, I mean, that's clocking in. Like, I didn't want to come to work today. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. So,
yeah. So like your, medium. Mm-hmm. But if you met the right guy who was a little bit on the smaller or bigger side,
oh, yeah. You'd be open that to sounds it. Great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. 100%. Because at the end of the day, like, chemistry is so important. And I think the more I do porn, the more I find non-sexual things sexual. So it's the way you hold my hand. It's the way you touch my neck. I love when guys play with my hair. Like little things like that are a huge turn on, like pussy wet. And men don't – they kind of take that for granted, you know. Mm-hmm. They're like, okay, I got to eat her out. I got to do that. And it's like you don't have to do that right now. Like mm-hmm. I like more simple, good kissers.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I think the foreplay gets lost a lot. I had sexologist Caitlin V on the other day, and we were talking about like the differences between men and women and arousal and levels of arousal and time of arousal. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why do you think that nature has made it so that it takes like women like on average 20 minutes to get aroused and men like instantly?
Yeah.
And now I'm going to forget exactly what she said. Go back and watch my episode with Caitlin, which will come out before this one to get the exact answer. But it was something along the lines of, I don't want to say men are disposable, but it was something
interesting
similar to that. Because like one man can impregnate a lot of women, but women can only bear one child at a time. So I think it's like
quality,
nature's
quantity.
Yeah, it's like nature's selection mm-hmm. process. So if you can get a woman to that space, mm-hmm. then you're a better partner and a better choice for her to
there it is.
Have the child. Mm-hmm. Because women are more likely to get pregnant if they orgasm.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's like it's that whole kind of thing. It's like it's like an ingrained selection process in women,
oh,
I guess.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I definitely, as I've gotten older too, I find myself being more, is it sapiosexual? Sapiosexual?
Where it's sapiosexual, like, when you're more attracted to people who are intelligent, like their brute minds and stuff like that.
So if you laugh at my jokes and you look at me in the eye, like, I'm done for.
Yeah.
You know, but if you're doing that, hey, baby, I'm going to give you the best, you know, mm-hmm. 4 hours of sex of your life. I'm like, oh, God, please. Get out of here. You know, that's not the foreplay I need.
So. And I also wonder, too, that if it's something along the lines of if a man is willing to spend that amount of time to get you to that place, then he's going to stick around after the baby and be there to help raise and protect, you know?
Yeah.
Like there's so many different interesting ways to look at that. So
So that's me. Maybe my body's like, it's time to have a baby. Find you a smart guy that's going to stick around.
So men that will spend a lot of time on foreplay, it just means you're more highly evolved.
Yes.
And Darwinism favors you.
Yes. Yeah. My body knows that for sure.
Yeah. Because it's funny like what our bodies know that like our minds don't necessarily know or won't acknowledge, right? Like our bodies respond to things in different ways than like or we want them to.
Yeah, have you ever liked somebody and you're like, God, they just give me the fucking ick now, but I can't figure out. It's like I liked them so much. Like, wow, like that's happening to me a lot lately.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, I just don't like you anymore.
Yeah.
You
know? No, I had a partner that I was with for a long time and we were trying to get pregnant and I was like having pain when we had sex and I finally went to a gynecologist and I was like, what's wrong with me? And they like did all the tests and the scans and he was like, there's nothing wrong with you. Like physically you're fine. Sex, and then he sat down and said this thing to me that I swear to God, like changed my life. And he goes, do you actually like him? And I was like, what? And he was like, cause I think it's your body telling you.
Oh,
and I was like,
I've had that.
No, I don't. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't want to like to admit it to myself.
So I love those online comments of guys being like, you know, my girlfriend's like bad in bed or like blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, she just doesn't like you. You know what I mean? Like all those Reddit threads of like, am I the asshole? It's like somebody tell her that she doesn't like him and it's okay to leave.
Yeah. You
know? Cause I think we've all been there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's complicated.
Yeah.
So what are your goals for the future?
I want to keep doing what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I want to keep doing good work. I want to do more features. I just want to shoot more. That's always my goal, is to like shoot more. And I want to make better content. I feel like I started off doing like really basic boy girl. I want to do things that are a little more beautiful, a little more sexy, a little more pushing the edge. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to be really selective with who I work with and how I get things done. But I also, this year, I inked a deal with Hustler to do 3 live shows at their club. So I finally got to live out my little baby stripper dreams. That was on my bucket list.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, so this weekend I have the last 2 shows. And I'm super excited. So that was like a big thing for me this year.
So this coming weekend, Easter weekend.
Yeah, like tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
Friday, Saturday.
So for those of you who are Patreon members and boy, are you lucky and smart to be Patreon members. You are watching this live and we are talking about Easter weekend. So the last weekend in March. So you're getting the, you know,
you're getting the
skinny
hot tea. Yeah. So if you're in Vegas or Oklahoma City, so Vegas on Friday and Oklahoma City on Saturday, you can come meet me live, which I mean, the only other times you can meet me live are at conventions, which are hectic and crazy. And you know, this is a little different atmosphere. And I've done one show already and it was like amazing. So thank you to Hustler for that opportunity. But I want to just do more. I want to continue on what I'm doing and I want to have longevity in this business. So I'm just kind of taking it at my pace.
You know? So this is going to be at the Hustler Club? Like what's the club?
Yeah. So in Vegas, it's the Hustler Club. And then in Oklahoma City, it is Lil Darlings.
Okay.
Is a Hustler group.
Gotcha.
So those 2. And I've got it posted on all my socials and
on
their pages and stuff too. So you can't miss it. But yeah, it's going to be a good time. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to do a little bonus Q&A for Patreon members as well after this. So another great reason to join my Patreon. Yeah. But in the meantime, Melissa, can you tell everybody where they can find you online?
Oh, yeah. That's super easy. MelissaStratton.com. All my links are there.
Wow, that was fast. Mm-hmm. All right. You can also go to hollylinks.com and find all of my links there or at Holly Randall on Instagram and on Twitter or X. And then, of course, as I previously mentioned, join my Patreon for access to live streams like this, bonus Q&As, and so much other content, patreon.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered. Thank you guys so much for watching, and I'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. Your support means the world to me. A great way to show your love is to rate and review my show, and an easy way to do that is to go to ratethispodcast.com/HRU, and you'll be directed to the various podcast apps your device supports, and then led to where you can leave your review. And if you can afford to financially support this podcast, you can do so for as little as $5 a month at patreon.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered. This is where you'll get access to the live streams of my interviews, bonus Q&As with my guests, access to my fine art photography and behind the scenes of my shoots, free memberships to my not safe for work website, hollyrandall.com, merchandise such as stickers, mugs, and hoodies, and so much more. You can watch the video versions of these podcasts at my YouTube channel, youtube.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered. Join us every Sunday evening for episode premieres where you can chat live with myself and other HRU fans as we watch the newest release together. You can also follow the show on Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. All of my social media links are at hollylinks.com.